Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. The Florida Retail Federation, an industry association offering products and services that help small businesses cut costs and increase revenue, serving Florida's retailers since 1937. The Florida Retail Federation, FRF.org. And from Tallahassee Regional Airport, offering service through Delta Airlines and Delta Connection, with connections to over 330 destinations worldwide. Fares and information online at delta.com. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
Florida sees another drop in the jobless rate during January, bringing the state close to where things were at the start of the recession.
So when the job numbers go up and the unemployment rate declines, it means that people are getting back to work, our industries are coming back to life, and it's good news all around.
Nearly 10,000 hourly state employees may soon be eligible for state-sponsored health insurance.
The penalty would be $318 million a year. The cost to provide health insurance for them is $137 million a year. My recommendation would be that we provide health insurance to the OPS staff.
And we'll delve into the question of how much a college education is really worth in Florida. I'm Tom Flanagan, and welcome to Capitol Report. Before we take a look at today's legislative activity, as Florida lawmakers start their third week of the 2013 session, there was some good news today from Florida Department of Economic Opportunity Executive Director Jesse Panuccio.
I'm very pleased to report that for the first time in 5 years, and thanks to Governor Scott's leadership, Florida's unemployment rate has fallen below the national average. For January 2013, Florida's unemployment rate was 7.8%, the lowest rate in 4 years.
Although January's drop in the Florida jobless rate was fractional, coming in below the national average is an important psychological boost. And Panuccio says the improvement is not an isolated sort of thing.
It continues a trend that we've seen over the last 2 years for Florida's economy. It continues to grow. We've also had good news on the jobs numbers. Since 2010, Florida's economy has added over 282,000 jobs. We've had job growth for 30 consecutive months.
Panuccio says Florida's unemployment rate is now at its lowest point since November of 2008, which was around the beginning of the recession, and the improvement in job creation is pretty much across the board.
It's across industries, but we've seen growth over the last 2 years in construction, in hospitality, and in a whole range of industries across the state.
Meanwhile, Governor Scott went to Mitsubishi Power Systems in Orlando today to highlight the new numbers, while continuing to call for a tax break for manufacturers who are buying new equipment. How big a role, if any, should the state of Florida play in regulating health insurance plans? That was the issue before a Senate panel today, as it looked ahead to new rules and regulations coming down the federal health care law. Lynn Hatter reports that law is putting additional rules in place for insurers, and states are having to decide how far they'll go in making sure insurance companies are in compliance.
Florida lawmakers are going through state insurance laws trying to make sure they match up with new federal regulations. And Senator Joe Negron, chairman of the Senate committee charged with evaluating the health law, says the state shouldn't be blamed if health insurance premiums increase because of the Affordable Care Act.
We don't know the implication of all of the aspects of the law right now. I think it'd be more prudent to have OIR certainly monitor those and keep an eye on it, and maybe down the road we'll want to get back into the rate setting business with health insurance, but temporarily while we're in this transition period, it will be the federal government's responsibility to make sure that reasonable rates were being charged.
Conflicting state and federal laws mean headaches for insurers trying to comply with two sets of rules. And Michael Garner, president of the Florida Association of Health Plans, says it would be better for everyone if the state streamlined its regulations to mesh with federal ones.
So there are a number of things that are really critical, but we very much appreciate this committee and the legislature and the governor working with us to make sure that we're able to comply with the federal requirements that we're having to do at the same time, continue to protect Floridians under your current protections that you've built into regulations.
Garner says state and federal rules differ in several areas. For example, Florida's laws on health plan costs based on age allow higher rates than those under the Federal Affordable Care Act. And in this case, the state would go with the federal rules in order for insurers to make sure their products appear on insurance exchanges, which will become a major purchasing vehicle for consumers.
But we are going to have to comply with that in order to sit there and offer our products to become qualified health plans that are going to be offered on the exchanges and also outside of the exchanges.
Under the proposal, the state's Office of Insurance Regulation would still be responsible for reporting violations to the federal government. The Senate panel is also recommending Florida extend health coverage to an additional 9,800 hourly state workers. Under the health law, if the state chose not to extend that coverage, it would be fined. And Negron says the extension makes financial sense.
The penalty would be $318 million a year. The cost to provide health insurance for them is $137 million a year. So my recommendation would be that we recommend to the president that that we provide health insurance to the OPS staff.
But there could be a catch. Florida's state health insurance plan may be subject to a tax because it offers generous benefits with low deductibles. And Negron says the state may have to scale back on those benefits. The House has already approved similar language for state employees and the state health insurance regulator, and both chambers are now crafting bills to implement those policies. It's the latest decision in a string of moves Florida has taken to comply with the federal health care law. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
A data analysis group called Economic Modeling Specialists International has released a study on the economic impact of Florida's 28 state colleges. As Ryan Bank reports, that survey seems to prove what many folks have said all along, a college degree is a good investment for everyone.
It is true that I began my higher education right in Marianna, Florida at Chipola. Then it was Chipola Junior College. It is now Chipola College, before continuing on to FSU.
That's Speaker Pro Tem of the Florida House of Representatives, Marty Coley. She says getting a degree at her public college paved the way for her success in life. But according to one data analysis group, the benefits of the Florida college system are more than anecdotal. A study conducted by the group shows a positive impact of more than $26 billion on the state's economy. Joe Pickens, chair of the Florida College System's Council of Presidents, says the economic contribution is invaluable.
Florida's colleges are providing exactly the kind of lift our state needs. With a $26.6 billion boost to our economy, it's clear the Florida College System plays a vital role in shaping Florida's future.
The Economic Modeling Specialist study isn't only looking at the impact in terms of dollars. The study also finds that almost 90% of Florida College System students who graduated with an associate's degree either got a job or continued their education at a university, and almost 80% of those who graduated with a bachelor's degree found work. That's why Representative Coley says dollars spent on colleges are never wasted.
Dollars spent on the Florida college system are indeed wisely invested, helping our state to continue growing a skilled workforce capable of competing globally, and that's extremely important.
According to the study, that workforce isn't going anywhere. The conclusion? More than 90% of Florida college graduates actually remain in the state, continuing to stimulate the economy. With an even higher return on investment than the stock market, State Board of Education member John Padgett says Florida colleges can lift people out of poverty.
We are really breaking the cycle of poverty in these families. They start with the Florida college system, and they end up in jobs.
The data analysis group also found that state government sees a rate of return of more than 9% on its investment in the college system. Governor Rick Scott has also pledged to increase funding to colleges by more than $74 million as part of his Florida Family's first budget for the coming fiscal year. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Ryan Bank.
Join the conversation. Follow us on Twitter at @FPRCapReport. Still to come on Capitol Report, as lawmakers move forward with an effort to ban what are called internet cafes, some are raising concerns about what that might mean for children's cafes.
And it's been a few years since I've had my kids in Chuck E. Cheese, and we used to get tickets out of the machines and go and get those little prizes, and it was a big day. Latvella household when we could do that.
A bipartisan coalition is using Lieutenant Governor Carroll's resignation to bolster their case for stronger ethics reform.
And if we had an ethics commission that had the power and authority that 30 other states have, questions would have been asked about the former Lieutenant Governor's financial disclosures more than 10 years ago.
And we'll remember a former Florida lawmaker who died over the weekend.
Support for Capital Report is provided by the Able Trust, working to assure opportunities for successful employment for all people with disabilities, a skilled workforce for Florida's businesses. The Able Trust, empowerment, education, employment. On the web at abletrust.org.
Florida's House and Senate gaming committees weren't expected to bring any significant gambling legislation forward this session, but Regan McCarthy reports, following charges filed against an internet sweepstakes cafe operator, the tone in the legislature has changed.
Internet cafes are small storefronts typically found in strip malls that sell internet time to patrons who use that time to play slot machine-like games to win cash or prizes. And opponents say they're illegal gambling centers that have slipped through a loophole. Senator Garrett Richter, a Republican from Naples, is the chair of the Senate Gaming Committee.
Depending on who and when you ask, they claim they fit within the definition of charitable raffles or bingo, such as what is offered by veterans and religious groups, or the definition of sweepstakes promotions incidental to sales, the sales of consumer products like hamburgers or soft drinks.
And internet cafes have gotten a bad reputation lately for preying on the elderly or being associated with crime. Senator Andy Gardner, a Republican from Orlando, says that's a concern for him.
In Apopka, about 2 years ago, there was an individual that was actually killed at one of these locations. Killed. But we still didn't have the evidence necessary to act.
But Senator John Thrasher, a Republican from St. Augustine, says after officials announced racketeering charges against internet cafe operator Allied Veterans of the World, it became clear the legislature needed to make a move.
We cannot wait another year. And instead of a moratorium, which is the bill that I originally had introduced to stop further proliferation of what I believed illegal internet cafes, I think we need an outright ban.
A House committee passed a measure to ban internet cafes last week, but the bill was met with criticism that lawmakers were rushing the legislation in a knee-jerk reaction. Thrasher says the Senate is not rushing its plan.
I know that the House has already acted. I am told, but I'm not absolutely sure, that they may take up the bill that they passed last Friday on the floor of the House this week. The Florida Senate will not do that. We have scheduled time on the floor tomorrow. It will not include this bill. It will give us at least another week or perhaps even longer for further considerations if there are adjustments that need to be made once we pass this bill today.
And Senator Jack Latvala, a Republican from Clearwater, shared concerns raised by many public commenters about what the measure might mean for electronic games played at children's or senior arcades or places like
Dave and Bubba's or Buster's or whatever the name of that place is.
Latvala says he wants to be sure places like Chuck E. Cheese that use electronic games and give out prizes for legitimate purposes won't be affected by the bill.
And it's been a few years since I've had my kids in Chuck E. Cheese, and we used to, you know, get tickets out of the machines and go and get those little prizes, and, you know, it was a big day in Latvala household when we could do that. But, you know, for instance, the claw machines that we see in so many different places where they have like a drag line and the drag line reaches into the machine and you try to pick up the toy and for a quarter, whatever. Are those machines affected by this bill?
Thrasher, the bill's sponsor, says his intention is to ensure games at children's arcades will not be affected by the bill, and Committee Chair Richter agrees. He also says the committee will be taking another look at gaming as a whole next year.
This process today and what we expect to work collaboratively with the House does not slow down and will not divert our attention from conducting a comprehensive analysis of gaming for the entire state of Florida. There are a number of different moving parts, regulatory. We heard testimony on how these businesses, how that gaming is overseen and how it's regulated.
The Senate measure passed out of its first committee unanimously. The House bill passed out of its first committee last week with just one vote against it. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.
In the wake of Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll's resignation amidst a racketeering probe, a bipartisan coalition is calling for stronger ethics reform in Florida. Jessica Palumbo reports the group warns the bill the Senate passed takes steps backward instead of forward.
A Tea Party conservative, a progressive, a government watchdog, and a veteran ethics commissioner are sharing a lectern in the Florida Cabinet meeting room. No, it's not the start of a joke. They're all very serious about one common goal.
Ethics reform is not a partisan issue, as evidenced by the diverse group of organizations that are represented here today.
That's Catherine Baer with the Florida Tea Party Network.
The Tea Party Network believes that the decline in America is a direct result of the citizens disengaging from the process. The legislature can invite them back to the table by enacting meaningful ethics legislation. This legislation that is presented from the Senate and the House doesn't go far enough.
The coalition is calling for much stricter reform than what's in the Senate bill that unanimously passed on day one of session, and in one that's going before a House committee on Tuesday of this week. Dan Krasner, who heads the government watchdog group Integrity Florida, says the last time comprehensive ethics reform was passed in Florida was in the mid-1970s. Then Lieutenant Governor Tom Adams had just been dropped from Governor Ruben Askew's reelection ticket after it was found Adams was using a government worker to tend his private property.
Flash forward now, more than 36 years later, we have the same kind of dysfunction in Washington, and Florida's lieutenant governor just stepped down. This is a tremendous opportunity for the people of Florida to see a responsive governor and a responsive legislature pass meaningful comprehensive ethics reform.
Krasner says, above all, the group is calling for the State Ethics Commission to be able to start its own investigations, not just respond when someone files an ethics complaint. He says in the case of former Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll, such investigative powers could have raised questions while she was still a state representative.
And if we had an ethics commission that had the power and authority that 30 other states have, questions would have been asked about the former lieutenant governor's financial disclosures more than 10 years ago.
Krasner says Carroll's financial disclosure forms showed questionable things like an increase in net worth of more than $20 million in a single year between 2003 and 2004. And Phil Claypool, a former Ethics Commission executive director who started with the commission in 1976, says more investigative power is what the people want.
When I was with the commission, I did not hear from the public that we were being too aggressive against public officials. What I regularly heard from the public and the press was that we were toothless tigers, we were ineffectual, and that we didn't have enough powers.
Claypool says he's seen former Governors Bush and Crist call for ethics reform with no success, so his expectation bar has been set pretty low. But he says he couldn't sit this one out without a good fight. So he wrote a memo outlining all the problem areas of the ethics bills making their way toward a floor vote. One problem, he says, is that right now, the Ethics Commission can't investigate an ethics complaint against a candidate if it's filed within 5 days of an election, but the Senate bill makes it worse.
The bill would extend that 5-day period to 30 days. I don't know how that's helping the people of Florida, but it sure seems to be helping public officials and protecting them from the Ethics Commission.
Another big problem with the bill is candidates would have a longer period of time to amend their financial disclosure forms, so they can potentially win a primary election before giving the public accurate information about their finances. Damian Filer, who heads the progressive advocacy group Progress Florida, says ethics reform is a top priority for his supporters.
Ethics impacts every other issue that gets voted on here, from education to health policy to environmental policy, tax policy, and everything else. So this is a critical issue.
The group says the bills aren't all bad, though. For example, they applaud the new power the commission would have to collect late disclosure fines from elected officials by docking their pay. But Krasner says there's one person whose voice is missing from the debate.
Ethics reform was not mentioned in the State of the State. We need Governor Scott's leadership on ethics reform.
Krasner's hoping lawmakers take Claypool's suggestions into account before passing any final package. The House is hearing its ethics reform bill on Tuesday afternoon. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Jessica Palumbo.
You're listening to Capitol Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. Now here's Ronald J. Eben with a look at what's going on around the Capitol tomorrow.
Proposals aimed at the Kansas-based Westboro Church low-speed vehicles and Canadian drivers will go before the full Senate Tuesday when it convenes at 9:30. For a vote, a bill prohibiting protest an hour before or after a funeral or burial, with protesters having to stay outside of 500 feet of where the funeral or burial is taking place. Also, a bill repealing a law that says international visitors need a special permit to drive in Florida, and one that allows low-speed vehicles with a top speed of 20 miles an hour, to be classified as golf carts for just a $40 fee, with the intent of lowering insurance premiums. The Senate Criminal and Justice Committee takes up a bill that would put restrictions on when police in Florida can use drones. The committee will also consider a bill that bars people from distributing pornographic or obscene materials to minors. The House Education Committee will take up underperforming schools. It would give parents more of a say on how the schools are overhauled, including forcing them to become charter schools. The House Ethics and Election Committee takes up a wide-ranging ethics bill that includes a ban on dual public employment and a stronger ban on post-service lobbying for speakers of the House and Senate presidents. And those are some of the highlights on tomorrow's legislative agenda for March 19th. I'm Ronald J. Eben.
Finally, this evening, a tribute to a woman who was a real presence in the Florida legislature for many years. Sasha Cordner takes a look back at the remarkable career of a truly memorable lady, former House and Senate member Larsenia Bullard, who died over the weekend.
After serving 20 years in the legislature, 18 elected and 2 years as a volunteer, it is a bittersweet moment as I stand on this day to offer my farewell.
Larsenia Bullard was talking to her fellow colleagues in the Senate on February 27th of last year. It was her farewell speech, one that she'd given before in the Florida House of Representatives. The only difference this time, because of term limits, she would not be returning to the Capitol in her role as a Florida lawmaker. She called herself a real public servant with real integrity and would freely debate anyone respectfully on any issue. And today, current Senate President Don Gates agrees.
At the end of any committee discussion or floor debate, if she was on the opposite side of you, she would come up at the end of the debate and throw her arms around you and give you a hug and say, I love you.
Her fellow Democrat and sorority sister from Delta Sigma Theta, Senator Arthenia Joyner, also had similar words to describe Bullard last year, calling her a unique individual.
You bring to this body something that nobody else in here could possibly bring. You know, you've survived all the trials and tribulations, and every day with a smile. You can never get angry with Senator Larsenia Bullard, because she is always smiling. And some days I say, that sorrow of mine, she makes me smile. Days when I wanted to frown, she made me smile.
And Larsenia Bullard had a lot of love for her colleagues as well. Throughout her life in the legislature, Bullard had been facing some health problems that left her sidelined for a while. But she became tearful as she recalled how she was able to get back up again through the support of her fellow lawmakers, from calls by the Senate Democratic leader at the time, Nan Rich, to handwritten notes from then-Senate President Mike Garadopoulos.
Throughout that time, it was bipartisan. Didn't matter that I was a Democrat. My living room was full of flowers because everybody knew that I loved flowers. I'd go out to water my flowers and strengthen me. Thank you. Whoever you were,
I can't remember all because I don't have the cards here. But you helped lift me up out of that bed, and you had me return.
Family was also a very important part in her life. She talked a lot about her husband, Ed Bullard, and what he'd done for her family, and she had some words of encouragement for her son, Dwight Bullard. She said she was proud her son decided to follow her and her husband's footsteps in serving in both chambers of the Florida legislature. Bullard, a former Florida House representative, took over his mother's Senate seat after winning the election last November.
I want to say to you, Dwight, you have the ability to do whatever you want. Soar like an eagle. You're smart. Don't waste your mind.
And the former senator also knew how to have fun. She took part in a semi-annual tradition of Capitol press skits almost every year while she was in the legislature, where government officials, lawmakers, and reporters all come together to spoof each other.
Members, the press skits are another way for us to give to a very good cause. Proceeds from the press skits benefit the Barbara Frey Journalism Scholarship, so it's a very good cause. I would hope that all of you will support the press skits when I'm gone.
This year, she took a special trip to Tallahassee to not only see her son on the first day of session, but she also took part in a craze that's been sweeping the nation, the Senate's own version of the Harlem Shake. Overall, words to describe Bullard have included wife, mother, mentor, and friend. And perhaps former Senate President Mike Haradopoulos' closing words last year best reflect what the legislature at least thinks of former Senator Larsenia Bullard.
We thank you very much for your compassion. You've got a huge heart. And when people talk about people of faith, you are such a person. We'll miss you. We love you. And God bless you.
Former Senator Larsenia Bullard passed away over the weekend at the age of 65. According to her son, Senator Dwight Bullard, she was facing many serious health challenges in recent months. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kortner.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Sasha Kortner, Ronald J. Evan, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, and Jessica Palumbo, along with Ryan Bank. We also thank our contributing Florida Public Radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Follow us on Twitter at FPR Cap Report. Join us again each weeknight during the 2013 Florida lawmaking session for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows at fprn.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: a grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley, supporting public radio and taking time to care, on the web at searcylaw.com. The Florida Retail Federation, serving small businesses since 1937. Florida's retailers employ nearly 2 million Floridians and collect more than $19 billion in sales taxes for the state each year. The Florida Retail Federation, FRF.org. And from Tallahassee Regional Airport, offering service through Delta Airlines and Delta Connection, with connections to over 330 destinations worldwide. Fares and information online at delta.com. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.